Good morning. Man, that was beautiful worship, beautiful worship. You know, the road is narrow, but we want to be on it. And thank God because of Jesus we are. Sometimes it gets a little hard not to look to the left or the right, but times like today will help refocus our attention on what really is important. And, you know, we had a great reveal on Friday night. If you had a chance to be there, thank you for being there. Even in the torrential rain, I think we had about 600 or so that came and celebrated the opening of the Center of Hope and the dedication of Forge Christian High School. Isn't that great? So good. And it is beautiful. So if you did not get a chance to see it, hopefully you'll get an opportunity here in the future. In a couple weeks, show you a little video of the transformation, which is great. I want to take a little break before we wrap up the last couple messages in James. And this is going to be a very special weekend because I'm going to be joined in a moment by our full-time staff from Peru. And so thankful that Doug and Blanca are here so that we can really talk about the exciting changes and transformations that are happening in the jungle and really what the next 2 years hold for our ministry when it comes to global outreach. And let me explain something that all of you can understand, because I know we don't oftentimes call ourselves a traditional church. Nothing wrong with tradition. Nothing wrong with tradition. I don't put down tradition. We have traditions after 34 and a half years. The important thing is don't live for tradition. You live for truth. You always got to be willing to change those traditions if there's a better way to do it. And as a ministry, understand that we have, as a church, set a precedent. We were the first church to do what we call church-to-church missions. That's become very well known because I had the chance to share that with Pastor Rick Warren and Saddleback in the 90s, and they began to do church-to-church missions at a larger feat than we ever have in about 140 countries. But one of those traditions really is to have the strongest global mission outreach possible. You know, after starting Grace in 1989, I was dissatisfied with the way we were doing missions really early on. We did missions like everybody else. And again, when I say these things, I'm not putting down other churches by any means. Man, as long as churches are focused on reaching the lost, I don't care how they do it. But for me, it just was dissatisfying. You know, to put up pictures of missionaries, you know, oh, here's our missionaries in Nepal, and here's our missionaries in, Papua New Guinea, and here's our missionaries in Africa. And people are like, oh, that's great. You support these missionaries. No, what we did is we sent these missionaries $50 to $100 a month, and they had to go to 100 other churches and have them support them. Did you know that the average missionary spends 50% of their mission work raising money? Now, that's not doing mission work. And that's how we have abdicated missions as a church to the mission boards. Now, I'm not anti-mission board, but I think the mission board should be supporting what the church is doing, and the church should be doing the work. The mission board should be nothing more than an advisement board, a board that helps. But what we've done as Americans and Europeans is we've abdicated missions to the board, and we don't do it. And that's wrong because the church was called to do missions. We'll look at that in a moment. And Paul had lived, I met Paul and Robin Johnson, if you will. And Paul had lived in the Bolivian jungle. She had lived in Papua New Guinea. They were missionaries. And they had started Amazon Focus. And in 1997, when I met them, I was at the height of being dissatisfied with what we were doing. And he said, have you ever been passionate about Peru? And ironically, I've been passionate about the Amazon in Peru since I was a kid. And he said, then come with me. And I traveled to the Amazon with Pastor Jim, another pastor, and we met 11 other people from Florence, South Carolina, and Canada. And we went into Soledad, the village in the jungle where we started our work, and we were there for 26 days. Now, we were completely removed from civilization. Back then, you could barely make a phone call from Yurimaguas, the jungle city where we now own a home. And so it was hard to be away from our family. But I fell in love with these people. At that time, we called them the Chayahuita. And for almost 8 years, we called them the Chayahuita until we found out one of them was courageous enough to tell us that that's like calling an African-American the N-word. And we're like, you guys could have told us that before, right? But that's what they had been called by the Peruvians, and that's what they've been called by other people. So we found out their name was Shawi, And so we now call them the Shawi. I met three young men, Pancho, Lucho, and Roque, all Shawi indigenous men. And they were passionate about the gospel. After our trip, we traveled downriver 2 days by Peki Peki, by big canoes. And we got to the home that we would now own. We would later own. And we were standing in that home. It was Paul, myself, Jim, Dan, and these three, Roque, Lucho, and Pancho. And I don't know if God just gave me a supernatural revelation of understanding a language that I knew nothing about, but they're speaking in their native tongue of Shawi, and I literally could tell what they were saying. And as they finished, I said, "We will be back." And as Paul translated, they were in shock. They didn't know how I understood that. And I said, "We will be back." And they said, "Any person that has traveled here from America never comes back." And since then, we have been back. I've been back 22 times. I've taken 356 people. And we as a ministry have built a mission of empowerment among the indigenous. Now, this has been the longest period of time that I have been out of the jungle because of COVID. And I'm looking forward to a conference that we'll be doing here in the spring. But, you know, why do churches travel to foreign lands if they're not doing the work in their community? You see, you can't just love the whole world and not love the people across the street. And so Grace is committed to our community in Arvada and to the indigenous in the Amazon and everywhere in between. Because that's what God has commanded. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Just take a look. You know, this verse, if you will, is the Great Commission. It's the great command for us as a church. But I promise you this, this is Jesus. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The book of Acts is a transitional book between the Old Testament, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are actually the Old Testament. It's the revelation of Jesus fulfilling the law. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be seized with power. You will be my messengers to Jerusalem, throughout Judea. Can you circle Jerusalem? Throughout Judea, circle Judea. The distant provinces, circle that. And even to the remotest places on earth, underline and circle that, okay? Or underline or circle it. And in this story, what we're seeing here is that Jesus says, you must go to Jerusalem, all the people like you around you, to Judea, all the people that are across the street on the other side of the track, different than you, to the provinces expanding in your community here in America, and then to the ends of the world. And I liken that to the first missionary of the church, Philip, who went and took the gospel, literally risking his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to use this as the backdrop before we have Doug and Blanca come out. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, here's the fulfillment of that great commission. Although the believers were scattered by persecution, they preached the wonderful news of the word of God wherever they went. Philip traveled to a Samaritan city. Remember, Jews did not associate with Samaritans. They considered them half-breeds, dogs, but Christian Jews did. And Philip traveled to the Samaritan city and preached to them the wonderful news of the Anointed One. The crowds were eager to receive Philip's message and were persuaded by the many miracles and wonders he performed. So I want to take a look at how God has blessed us since making the same commitment that Philip made. Since making that commitment to Peru. And in a moment, we'll look at the amazing numbers, which just represent God's power. And remember that these numbers are sort of always changing. You know, we don't have a computer system and all our churches in the jungle are hooked to one server and we get real time. No, this takes sometimes months to get to us. And by that time, it could have changed. And so we're going to take a look, first of all, at our global mission journey. Number one is a glimpse at what God has done. Why do you look at what God has done? Because you learn from it. Because you give him glory for what he has done. And it's important to take a moment and remember that. But as I said to the students in chapel, the first chapel this year, don't look back. You know, remember what happened to Lot's wife when she looked back? She turned to a pillar of salt. When you look back and you live in the past, you get stuck there. You don't move any further. God can't use you when you're just living in the past. We'll look at the past and we'll celebrate what God has done, but that's not where we're going to stay. You know, church-to-church missions is about one church pouring into one people group and literally multiplying Grace Church among the Shawi, of which there are about 56,000 Shawi in 200 villages. And we still have a great deal of work to do. You'll see that even after the numbers. And this is so much more effective than sending $50 here or $100 there and hoping that those missionaries are raising the rest of their support and doing a good job. And by the way, you can't keep up on all those missionaries. They don't really get the support from you that they deserve and need. Let me show you what we've seen real quick. We've seen 12,000 Shawi that we have personally shared the gospel with and led to Christ. 8,000 of them have been baptized, and as I was talking with Doug a few months ago, that is a very conservative number. I know personally that I baptized hundreds myself. And what we've seen is we have trained now 50 Shawi pastors. Either we have traveled where I've trained them, or we have trained them as a ministry, or some of our missionaries that have gone from here short term have trained them. We built multiple churches, which are big huts and concrete floors. We built multiple businesses. We've helped them start businesses. We built a multi-use hostel, a Bible Institute, and Grace Church Urimagua. So you're going to hear about that in a moment. And what we've seen is that we have invested over $5 million into our work in Peru. We have sent 650 short-term missionaries from Grace to Peru. As I said, I've taken over half those. We fully funded three full-time missionary couples for 26 years. 26 years, it's almost hard to believe. And we've not only done that, but we have been able to love and care for them and transition them back. Rick and Susie are here. We're so grateful for the work they did for nearly 10 years. But I want to show you what a day in the life of Doug and Blanca looks like before I bring them out. Take a look at the screen.
Good morning. Blanca and I are getting ready to go to the market. We're going to show you what a typical shopping day is here in Urimagua. So we're walking out the door and we'll continue, yeah? Okay, we come out here and we wait for a taxi. No taxis. This is the outside of the door from the street view of the Grace Church property. This wall surrounds the whole property. Okay, we're in the moto taxi on our way to the market. Now we're buying some onions. This is a granada. This is what it looks like in the middle. We use it on our oatmeal. It's really delicious little berries inside of this granada. Here's the mercado. This is where we buy our eggs right here. And this gentleman, ¿y cuánto está, señor?
Siete.
Here's where we buy our chicken. Here's where we buy our chicken. This is for our dog right here. Heads, feet, everything. We made it. We arrived back from the market for our weekly shopping excursion. Here we are in Urimaguas. We're playing a game here. It's kind of like horseshoes, but with golf balls. Not really like horseshoes, but I don't know what it's called, but it's fun. So our Shawi missionaries are here this week, and we're having a great time. It's a tournament. This is Ruben. He's cleaning our garden outside here. Looks like it's going to rain here. I don't know if you can tell, but these clouds are getting really dark.
I'm here in a place called Shantibela, getting ready to catch a boat to a community called Atahualpa.
So we're getting ready to leave here on this Peki Peki, it's called. And there's another family, some other people that are going with us. I don't know these people, but they're charging me about $20, a little less than that, to travel to a city called Panan. This is the Paranapura River.
beautiful traveling along the river in these Peki Pekis. We should be able to arrive in Panan in about 6 hours.
Here I am in Panan, and you can see this is how the Chawi women wash their clothes. Come down to the river, they have a brush and soap, and they scrub everything. This is the Parinacota River. This lady is here with her little daughter washing their clothes. Part of the everyday life of a Chawi. Hola, Romulo. Here's Romulo. See?
I'm here with Romulo and Bea, wife. We're on our way to Atahualpa. Beautiful day. Beautiful day to travel. On the river.
Isn't that great? It's awesome. Yeah, yeah. It's quite the experience. Would you just do me a favor and welcome our missionary staff and couple from Peru, Doug and Blanca Usher. So love them. You know, before we dive in, I just want to say, how are things going? Blanca had a cancer scare and had went through surgery 4 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been that long. How are you doing, and how are things going?
Thank you for asking about my health. I'm doing super well. I'm feeling good. We are coming back to Peru the next week. I'm going to have my medical annual checkup.
Scan.
Yeah. You know, I wanted my vacations first.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my family, my love family is doing well too. My son is coming out from a problem and an accident the last year. You know, at the same time that Grace Church was presenting the Chawi movie, he had an accident, but now everything is going okay. This end of the month, the case is going to be filed. So,
would you mind if I just shared real quick?
Okay.
Aaron, her son, is a national champion ATV racer in all of Peru and was racing. Was he in Arequipa or Pucallpa? Arequipa?
It was in Pucallpa.
He was in Pucallpa racing, and the organizers of the race had got a permit from the city of Pucallpa, but not from the police. And so a person with two passengers in a moto car pulled out in front of Aaron racing at high speed. Nobody was killed, thank the Lord, but they tried to pin it on him, and he spent 2 days in jail and it's been a very uphill battle and very hard on Blanca and Doug and the family.
Yeah. So I want to take this time to say thank you to the whole church because your support, your economic care, and also about your prayers, you know. I know that you pray about our jobs in the jungle, our families, our health, and also about the weather. The last year, a beautiful lady got close to me the last year in the foyer, and she held my hand and said, I'm going to pray for the weather, because I have issues with the weather there in the jungle. So I don't know if this lady is here, but madame, you know, things a lot because the weather has been changed because of your prayers.
I want to know where she was Friday. But yeah, no, that's great. That's terrific. Terrific. Doug, as you think about that, we're so excited to hear that from Blanca, but you know, we've got some pictures to show everybody just about what God is doing through you guys. And I mean, there's so much that we want to catch up on and talk about, but can you believe that it's been 6 years? I mean, going into our seventh year of being in the jungle, would you have ever imagined when we started Grace Church Grand Junction 15 years ago that you'd be in the Amazon rainforest?
Yeah, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe it's been almost, I've been there 7 years now altogether, and over 7 years. But yeah, it's exciting to see what God's done through Grace Church. You guys, this church has funded a beautiful facility, a new facility there. And you see our seven, there's eight there. We have nine missionaries now that we support fully. And this facility is used to train them and to have our church that we started about a little over a year ago. And we use it for just multiple purposes. We had someone text me this week and said, from Compassion, International, said, yeah, we have a group of 15 coming, and we wonder if we could stay in your facility for a night and a day. I said, yeah, it'd be great. So
good,
it's just amazing how God has raised this facility up and how he's using it for his glory. So.
And this church, you guys have sponsored 537 Compassion International children, most of which we pioneered in Yurimaguas and in our part of Peru. They were not working there, but because of our inquiries, they made that happen. And we'll be looking at another push for more Compassion children to be sponsored. But, you know, Doug, when you look at what's happening in the community, some of the churches have been started. Tell us a little bit, though, about what happens in the Bible Institute, and you can see the guys that are actually graduating. I mean, we're giving them a theological training.
We are. This picture here is of really our Shawi missionaries, and there were two other churches involved. We had a leadership training, and we used our facility for that. But yeah, we started our Bible Institute. This October will be our fourth semester. We have the semester is a month long, so in March and in October, we have our institute, and during those months we train. We have 15 men that are coming, and eight of them will be graduating in October. They're completing their fourth semester.
So great.
And yeah, it's really a blessing to be able to train pastors. We had the guys figure out how many communities there are that have believers but don't have a pastor.
Yeah.
And we counted 57 that have some believers but don't have pastors. And so we've seen one of the big needs is to train pastors to pastor those communities and those churches.
Man, when I hear Doug say that, you know, we took a look back for a moment, but that's really a view of where we are right now. A view of where we are right now is the needs have exponentially grown. I mean, when a community has believers, what that means is that you have a village anywhere from 200 Shawi to maybe 500 Shawi as the average Shawi village. I don't think there are many that are less than that, right?
And
200 is probably pretty average. And so you have believers. Remember, the believers still have the challenge of the witch doctor, the shaman, in that village being the most influential spiritual person. And so when you're Christians, say 10, 15, 20 of them, man, that's your community. You live life with your family. And it's not like a neighborhood here where you have your, you know, your drawbridge, which is your garage door, and you can shut out the people below it. They're living with them. And so it's a challenge. And I want to take a look at this in light of what happened with Philip as he shared the gospel in Acts chapter 8. Look at this. But as Philip preached the wonderful news of God's kingdom realm and the name of Jesus, the anointed one, many believed his message and were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon believed and was baptized. Wherever Philip went, Simon was right by his side, astounded by all the miracles, signs, and enormous displays of power that he witnessed. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the Samaritans had accepted God's message of life, they sent Peter and John to pray over them so that they would receive the Holy Spirit. What was happening at this time in history is that God was now giving the fulfilling a promise that the Holy Spirit would come, the Comforter, when Jesus was taken out, and he would indwell every believer. But they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. So first we see in Acts chapter 2, the Jews received the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 19, a small sect of John the Baptist's disciples received the Holy Spirit. Once that was done, that was signifying that all believers for all time would receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at salvation. So don't get confused when the Bible says you're being filled with the Spirit when you're doing God's work. That doesn't mean you're being indwelled. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked by the Holy Spirit, who is the promise guaranteeing your inheritance until Christ's redemption. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And why that's important is because the same is true for our shall we. When they receive Jesus as their Savior, they get the same Holy Spirit we do. And he can do the same work in them that he is doing in Doug and Blanca and he is doing in each of us. So as you look at a view of where we're at now, we've trained at this point 15 pastors in our Bible Institute. As you heard from Doug and Blanca, this is a big undertaking. They go through 4 semesters. They are getting a Bible college education. They are living away from their family for a month at a time. They are taking all of that time to take in the Word of God. We have the Iglesia Gracia, which is our Grace Church Irumaguas. They are averaging 60 regular attenders every week. We just planted this church last Easter, and that's what God has done through their faithfulness. We planted 57 new churches in the jungle. We have 9 native Shawi missionaries, as you saw. We regularly care for all the medical needs of the Shawi in Irumaguas. Sometimes attacked by I remember one time attacked by a jaguar, once bitten by a poisonous snake, suffered a broken back. We have air flighted them out of the jungle to get medical care. All of that are the expenses that we take on. We participate in the annual Grace Church Conference. That's what I normally teach at, and Doug teaches at, and then he and Blanca on our behalf goes to the Shawi Conference in the jungle. So that's kind of a look at what we're doing. I want you to know that if you are supporting this ministry, you are making a difference right here in this community, obviously now in teenagers' lives in a big way, in the homeless lives, in the broken, in the hurting, the habits that have formed, all the way to the Amazon. And the same thing that's happening here is happening there based on their culture. And as I look at that, it very much excites me to have this opportunity to hear from Doug and Blanca. You know, we've seen God's healing in their lives, and we've seen the Bible Institute being built. Blanca, as you look around, you see this 7 years later, married and in such a unique place. I don't think people understand. Blanca lived in Arequipa. You're like, oh, she's Peruvian. This must be normal for her to be in the jungle. It is not. Arequipa is a very wealthy city. It's the second largest city in Peru. It is beautiful. It sits at 6,000 feet, a little higher than Colorado. They have the same type of climate. And she's a city girl. And so her sacrifice is just as great, if not more, than Doug and ours, because she's coming from a culture that is vastly different than the Amazon. As you've been there, Blanca, tell us about some of the things God is using you to do in the Amazon among the Shawi, and some of the stuff that's happened with the ladies and just this whole transition.
Yeah, well, you say right. It was difficult, the transition from my city, Arequipa, to the jungle. It continued being a little difficult, I was and I'm doing now one of the things that the Lord put in my heart 7 years ago. And when he shows you his purpose on you, you can see the things in a different way.
Yeah.
So now is changing for me little step by step, no? Now I'm enjoying the people. I have friends. I'm enjoying the church. We work together. Sometimes I teach in the Sunday schools, and I'm leading now a ladies group that where we pray together, talk together, we play together, and we have also the tea time. And we have a friends group and WhatsApp too, so we share all our issues or requests for prayers too. And we meet every two Thursdays a month. So it was good. Now, and in the conference with the Shawi people, it was also very encouraged this year, especially this year. Through this time that I was like a missionary in the jungle, I could see the change of the Shawi women, especially because I teach them. So this year was very exciting and so amazing because in January in the Bible conference in Bella Vista, the Shawi community, when I finished my lessons, all the teachings, there was a line of the Shawi women that wanted to give me a hug and say thank you for the teachings. You know how many were there? Close to 200.
Wow.
So this is one of the things that say, okay, let's do this again.
yes. What an encouragement. And we may say, oh, well, that's really nice. You know, I mean, women in America would probably do that too. Well, women in the Shawi villages have only been set free from what I would call an oppression that has existed for a long, long time since we've been working there, to be honest. And this has been a slow process. And thank God for our missionaries who treat their wives godly and understand that they are equal to them in humanity, that they have the same spiritual gifting and the same Holy Spirit. But that is not normal of the Shawi people. And the women oftentimes look very sad. That's the only way to put it, right, Doug? They just look sad all the time. I mean, you're walking through the jungle, you see their heads down. If they even make eye contact with you, they don't smile. And it is a big deal that Blanca is speaking into their lives and that they're feeling the love of Christ and that they're feeling that they are truly who God created them to be. That was a big deal. And I just don't want you to miss that. Doug, as you think about really what's happening in, you know, the annual conferences and all the work that we're doing, you know, we know that people can sometimes misuse or abuse the power of the Holy Spirit, or at least make all kinds of bizarre claims, but we have seen miracles. We have actually witnessed and been a part of undeniable miracles of God. Tell us some of those, and tell us really, I mean, the miracle of the support that it takes to really make this mission happen.
Yeah, just as an example, you know, we were in the video you saw, I was going to a city or community called Atahualpa, and we had a regional meeting there, and then there were six or seven other communities that come there, and we share God's word with them. And while we were there, it was after the first day, there was a man that came. I think I had met him in Panan when I arrived there, and he asked me what I was doing. I said, yeah, we have a conference over here in Atahualpa. Well, a couple days later, he came to that community. And after the teachings, Gregorio said, this man came, and I think you should talk to him. So I went over and talked to him. His name is Herman. And Herman said, you know, I had a dream, and in my dream, God told me to arrepentirse, which means to repent. And so I took that opportunity to share the gospel with him. Arrepentirse, repentance, is changing what you're trusting to trusting in Christ, because that's the only thing that matters. Right. And so he needed to trust in Jesus. And so I shared the gospel with him, and Herman received Christ that morning.
Wow.
And I invited him to some of our training. Well, actually, he took me after the conference there, he took me to Penang again in his boat. But first he took me to his community. It's kind of on the way. And he introduced me to his brother and some of the leaders of the community. And he wants us to come. And we scheduled to have one of our teams go there and try to have a meeting. And he wants us to preach and evangelize his community and to see a church started there.
So good.
So I invited him to come to our Shaui training, and he came the next month. And he was the first one there. He got there in the morning. Usually the guys come in the evening. And I said, "Oh, it's great that you came." So I took him up to his room, and he studied there. He has a real hunger for God's word.
Yeah.
And then 2 months later, he came again. And so it's just a blessing to see God working in his life and anticipating a new church starting in his community.
And no greater miracle than a transformed life. And I mean, when you hear that again, he has to travel by boat to get to these trainings. He has to find a shuttle. You know, some guy's going down the river, "Hey, will you take me?" And as Doug said so often, they'll get there. They don't know how they're getting home. It's just literally at the mercy of, and they know nothing about time. Honestly, I remember my first trip, I had to travel 2 days on the river. And so I took all my stuff and my gear down to the bank of the river. And I said to one of the Shaui men, "What time will they get here?" And he said, "Oh, when they get here." And I said, "Thank you." And they got there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And so, yeah, that's just kind of how it is. Doug, what does it take for us to financially support our work in Peru on an annual basis?
Yeah, you know, I just kind of jotted down some items that are necessary for the ministry. And obviously, we need a missionary couple, and if another comes, we can train them to eventually take over. And then, of course, we support our 9 Shaui missionaries, full-time missionaries, and we just started a new team. So we have 4 teams now. One goes to the Balsa Puerto region. And so that's really exciting. Those guys are really excited.
So great.
And then, of course, we have medical things that arise. We have the New Grace Church. We have printing, bulletins, and activities. Mother's Day, the women's meetings. We have a men's prayer breakfast once a month. We have youth activities every month. We just had a youth activity right before we came. And we had 16 young people there. We played games, and I was able to share the gospel, and 4 or 5 raised their hand to receive Christ.
So, God.
this facility and this, the ministry involves quite a bit. So we came up with a total of about probably $220,000 a year to continue. That includes a little bit of vision for the future. We've had twice, we really don't average 60 every week, but we have that many people that come.
Oh, that's great.
And we have between 20 and 40 that are there every Sunday, and they don't all come every Sunday. It's kind of like here, you know, we have a large group that comes maybe once a month or once every 2 months. And so when we have a big group, we've had 3 times where we had 60 people there, two times 60 and one like 54. We got like 20 kids up in this little room for Sunday school, and it's just not big enough.
Not big enough, yeah.
And so we could really use another facility on the property just to have a children's church there.
Beautiful.
So that kind of builds in a little bit of the future goals and dreams for the ministry.
So good. And when you think about that, it can be from $220,000 upwards of $400,000, depending on emergencies and what needs to happen. And as Doug is sharing this, I'm thinking one thing you need to know is $220,000 goes 1 million miles further than it does in America in the jungle. And so that is really a bargain deal. Let me get to this last section. When you look at this, we've looked at a view of where we're at, but you got to have a plan for where you're going. We've already talked about this in the book of James, that when you say, "We're going to go here, and we're going to go there, and we're going to start this, and we're going to stop that," it always needs to be if it's the Lord's will. And so we have made plans, and I will tell you this. This is a very humbling reality. From the moment that I was in the Amazon in 1997 with Jim, and we made the decision coming down the river, we didn't even own, we had this building next door. I hadn't even owned it for a year. And I said, "Listen, we got to have a facility here. We got to have missionaries here." And so we found a property on the river. $50,000 is what they wanted. We didn't have two nickels to rub together. We're like, okay, we're going to do it. We bought it in faith. We had nobody to live in it. We had to hire somebody to be a caretaker. And yet it was the home base. And all of these visions that God had laid on my heart to start a Bible Institute, to have a church in Yurimaguas, to train missionaries from the Shawi who could travel the rivers. Do you understand when they travel, they go by Peki Peki, which is a small canoe, up the river, and it can be days at a time, or they walk by foot through the jungle. We had one of our missionaries bitten by a venomous snake and almost didn't make it. And so we are talking about people that are sacrificing greatly, and they have lots of children. They have lots of kids, and so they're leaving their family and their children. So we are paying them to do this work as they go into the jungle. But you have to have a plan, and the plans that we have put before God, by God's grace, have been fulfilled. And I think about this story in the story of Philip and really the apostles. In Acts chapter 8, it says, after Peter and John had testified and taught the word of God in that city, they returned to Jerusalem, stopping at many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the hope of the gospel. That's what Doug and Blanca are doing. They're traveling village to village, preaching the gospel, and then churches are rising up. Well, don't you wish it was that easy here? It could be if we all preach the gospel. Then the Lord's angel said to Philip, now go forth, go south from Jerusalem on the desert road to Gaza. He left immediately on his assignment. And along the way, he encountered an Ethiopian who believed in God, the God of the Jews. By the way, you can believe in the God of the Jews and not be saved. Who was the minister of finance for Candace, queen of Ethiopia. He was on his way home from worshiping God in Jerusalem. As he rode along in his chariot, he was reading from the scroll of Isaiah. Now, he didn't have a copy of YouVersion on his phone or a Bible, leather bound. He's carrying a scroll. And guess where he's reading? Isaiah 53, for like a lamb led to the slaughter, well, it was silent before his shearers, so he was silent before his executioners. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, and by his stripes we are healed. And it says this, Philip, go, and the Holy Spirit said, Philip, go and walk alongside the chariot. So Philip ran to catch up. Man, this was a fast dude. I think it was a supernatural run. And as he drew closer, he overheard the man reading from the scroll of Isaiah, the prophet. Philip asked him, sir, do you understand what you're reading? It's the best question you can ask anybody. Do you understand what that means? You know, the gospel is not the full Bible. It's not the four gospels. The Bible is all about God's plan to redeem mankind through Jesus Christ. That is the gospel, that Jesus was crucified, buried, and rose again 3 days later. And if you believe, you'll receive salvation. Now, we have seen transformed lives in the hundreds of thousands through this ministry just because of the simple gospel message. Now, it's a lot less convenient these days to do what maybe is happening in the jungle here in America, but it's still the same power of the gospel that can pave those roads and make it happen. You know, you may not be aware of this, but we have helped launch and plant over 20 churches in this area and in the United States. And we don't talk about them or take credit for that. We support them. We allow them to be autonomous. And as long as they're preaching the clear gospel, we launch them. And that's because we are committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, Doug, share some of the stories. You shared that story of Herman. Share some stories that really you've seen life change in the jungle and just what it's doing among the Shawi.
Yeah, I think a good example would be our institute. You know, we have these students that have come from different communities all throughout the region. And one of the young men is named Jonathan. He's 20 years old, I think. And Jonathan's really a neat kid. He's just really excited about the Lord and he's going to be graduating in October. But I was talking with some people from his community. It's called Nawai. And they don't have a pastor, But Jonathan's been involved with teaching the children in the children's ministry. And I was talking with someone from the community, an older man, and I asked him, who's preaching on Sundays? You have services where someone's preaching? And he goes, yeah, Jonathan. And I said, wow, that's awesome.
That's so good.
And he's really growing. You can really see his confidence. And, wow. And, you know, this is a community without a pastor, but because we're training Jonathan, I'm sure that many people will come to know the Lord through the ministry that's going on there now. Mm. And that's really what it's all about.
Oh, that's so good. I mean, just multiplication, a young man just stepped back in the village and fearlessly proclaimed the word of God. Blanca, you're seeing that with some of the women that you're working with. You're seeing them start to understand who they are in Christ and how they are gifted and shaped. I don't know if you have any stories like that, but you know, as you guys get ready to go back to your mission, if you choose to accept it, sorry for the Mission Impossible joke, but you know, what are you most excited about, and what are you hoping God accomplishes through you guys?
Yeah, well,
you sure about coming here? If you want.
Coming here, yeah. This is one of the things that we are expecting. I'm preparing also because, you know, 2 years we are coming here and start the Spanish ministry here.
Right.
And I'm excited about that because, for example, the last year and the foyer is amazing.
It is, yes, it is.
Because
stick around.
You meet people there that and you have some ideas and they encourage you. They say things to you. So the last year I met a nice woman, a nice lady. Her name is Maria.
Maria, yeah.
And she told us that she has in a small group in her house 14 people that doesn't know how to speak English, but they are very hungry about the word.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm excited to come here and work on it. It's not going to be Shawi. Now it's going to be Spanish.
That's right.
I'm very prepared for that.
Oh, yes, you are. You're the most prepared for that. You know, Maria has been going into the women's prisons for the last 20 years while the men have been going with Kairos. She's been going to the women's prison down south. And on many occasions, she brings me certificates to sign as the women are coming to Christ and getting baptized. And I always feel a little bit sheepish because I'm like, you're doing all the work, Maria. But yes, I would be glad to sign because we're thankful to be their church. Amen. And the fastest growing population in the United States is Spanish speaking. And we have over 55-60% of our churches is Hispanic or Latino. And many of them have said, you know, I'm bilingual, but my relatives are not. Or I know people in my community that are not. So we are launching our Spanish speaking church in 2025. And Doug and Blanca will come home to help us launch that. We're still looking at, you know, either the lodge or our new facility, but either way, we will launch it. You know what that means? We need teams. We need worship teams. We need greeters. We need parking. We need everything that we have here for this Spanish-speaking church. And so you'll be hearing more as we get closer because we're going to have to really enlist more and more of you to serve, and they're going to do an incredible job. I'm very excited about that, and you know, as you look at this, we're going to raise up at least one couple to go to Peru. And maybe God is already starting to prick at your heart. I have to tell you, if you're not a member and part of the core and you're not serving here, probably don't even inquire, right? You got to be passionate about Grace Church and the vision of this ministry. But if you are, we would love for you to take right here in your bulletin. It says Peru internship. There's a QR code. We would love for you to check that out. And if you're single and you're interested, by all means, please let us know. We'll reach 10 to 20 more villages in the next 5 years. If these two keep going at the rate they're going, that may be conservative. We'll have a sustainable plan for financial support in 2025 so that you don't hear us say much about the mission funds because everything comes out of general, but we do need to meet the needs that are right now immediate before us, that $1.5 million shortfall due to the excessive costs of the Center of Hope, and that's a big deal, because it's, as you can see, all of this keeps going. But Doug came and gratefully handed me a $20,000 bill, I think it was, or maybe so. And so, I mean, that always is necessary. We will send five more short-term teams down by 2027 to teach, build properties, and love the Shawi. We'll reach the remaining 25,000 Shawi with the good news of the gospel, Lord willing. We'll build a staff for our Spanish-speaking church that I just mentioned. And we'll launch that church in 2020, well, really probably the start of 2026 once everything is put in place. And Doug, you know, I asked this before, you know, would you have ever believed that we were going to be here when we started Grace Church Grand Junction? And I know your thoughts were like, never. I remember we were doing an elder meeting, and the only time we could do it was Sunday morning at 6 a.m. with our pastors in Grand Junction. We had a satellite church for 5 years. We owned a property. When I came to meet with Doug the very first time in Grand Junction, because families had been begging us who had left Grace and moved to Grand Junction to start Grace Church Grand Junction. And I thought, well, we got to have leadership. We got to have a person that knows the Lord and knows the Word. First time I met Doug, I was like, we found it. We found the guy who loves the Lord. And what was most impressive to me was how God had used him through all the struggles that he had been through and the challenges he had been through. And what a humble, godly man. And after 5 years of serving, Matt, his son, was our last full-time staff member at Grand Junction before we dissolved and kind of went a different direction. And one day we were talking before that happened. I said, well, Doug, what do you think you want to do? And I was hoping he was going to say, well, I want to move to Arvada and be a pastor at Grace Church. Instead, he goes, you know, I've always wanted to move to a Spanish-speaking country and just do missions. Well, I didn't know that he owned property in Puerto Vallarta, and that's what he was thinking. And I'm like, you know, Mai Tai, a pool, and Jesus, right? And I said, well, you do know that they speak Spanish in Peru. And he's like, oh, yeah, I never thought of that. And that's where he's been ever since. But, Doug, you know, as you look at that over this 7 years and what God has done, how exciting has it been? How excited are you for the future of the Shawi?
It's been exciting. Yurimaguas is not Puerto Vallarta, by the way.
It's Porta something. Porta potty. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. Yeah, it's a rough place.
But, you know, I was traveling in a boat down the river a couple months ago, and on a boat with people I didn't even know, and it's beautiful when you're on the river in the little peki-peki.
Yeah.
And the jungles on each side of you, and it's just really beautiful. But I'm sitting there thinking, man, 10, 15 years ago, I never would have dreamed, maybe 15 years ago, I never would have dreamed I'd be on a boat on the Amazon, because this feeds into the Amazon, going to a village that I've never been to. And it was just hard to believe.
Yeah.
About 25 years ago, I went through a very painful divorce. And, you know, Satan likes to whisper in our ears when we have something like that happen, you're done, you know, you're washed up. And I kind of felt that way. I didn't quit, but I, you know, figured, well, you know, that's it for me in ministry. Hmm. And I was in a church, and I was a deacon, and the deacons asked me to step down because of the divorce. And so, yeah, that was what Satan was saying to me, but I continued to be involved. And, you know, I realized that God doesn't give up on his own, Amen. His children. Amen. And the Bible says that the callings of God are without repentance. And that means God doesn't change his mind about Amen. You. When you stumble, God still has a plan for your life.
Yes.
Maybe you've had some difficulties or some mistakes. God still, you're still his child, and he Amen. Still has a plan for you. And God gradually showed me that. And thankfully, through Grace Church, you know, God showed me. He had been speaking to me about learning Spanish and going to a Spanish-speaking country. And then we spoke with Rick that morning, and it's just it's amazing how the Lord opened the doors. But, never give up,
so
because
glad.
God doesn't give up on you.
Man, I'm so glad you did not quit. And I that message right now to you, to everybody watching online is the message of grace. It's a message of God's grace, a message of this ministry that God is not done with you. You know, whether you chose poorly or somebody chose and it affected you, God is not done. He wants to take our deepest hurt and make it our greatest ministry.
Amen.
He wants to make your mess your message.
Amen.
You know, I'm not going to read the rest of this because I want Doug to finish this, but in the story of Philip, he shares the gospel, and the Ethiopian becomes a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know what happened. We went back to Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, but I'm sure there was a vast move of God that took place there. The Bible says that instantaneously, Philip was picked up and put in a different town to share the gospel. It was a miracle. And it's just a beautiful description of what happens. God's like, okay, you did my work. We're moving on to the next thing. And one of the areas that really stood out to me as I was talking to Doug that morning when we met before we even launched Grace Church Grand Junction was how passionate he was about the grace gospel. People might think, oh, well, that's probably Rick's influence or the influence of the ministry. No. This man was passionate about protecting and defending the grace gospel from anything that would taint the message. And so in conclusion, Doug, would you share that message with us?
Yeah, you know, in Spanish, the word gospel is el evangelio, and it means the good news. The wonderful thing about the good news is that it eliminates the bad news. The bad news is that we're lost, we're without hope, and that we're condemned because of our sin. But the good news is that Jesus wants to eliminate that bad news in each of our lives. And that's why he came. He came to die on the cross, to take our condemnation, to pay for our sin. And after 3 days, he rose from the dead victorious, showing that he was God, showing that he was victorious over sin and over death. And all we have to do is to believe and to trust it only in him to be our Savior. And that's the good news. When we do that, he gives us eternal life, the Bible says.
Amen. Would you thank them? Thank them so much. Love you guys. Love you. Yeah. Let me have you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. It is one of my favorite times of the year to be with Doug and Blanca, to have been with our missionaries who really, I mean, they're putting it on the line every single day. And they're doing it for the sake of the kingdom of God. But you know what else is they're doing it because of people like you who may be sitting here going, I don't know whether or not I'll go to heaven when I die. Maybe you hope so. Maybe you thought being religious would do it. But you just discovered through that simple presentation that you cannot be a part of your salvation. It is a gift of grace from God. And you must only receive it by faith. Then right where you're at, do that. Because there are no guarantees on life. Right now, you can just talk to God silently in your mind and say something like this: God, I confess I'm a sinner. I confess that I've sinned against you, and I right now know that I can do nothing to save myself. But I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, perfect, sinless, came to this world and died in my place. That he paid for all of my sins, not just past, but present and future sins. And he rose again 3 days later. And I trust in him alone to save me. Thank you, God. Friend, you are saved. Not by prayer, but by faith. And I want to pray for you. I won't mention you. I'm not going to have you stand up or come forward. But in a moment, if that made sense, and today you're trusting in Jesus, would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? I believe. And I receive that free gift. Just slip it up and put it right back down. Praise God. Praise God. For you who trusted in Jesus, we have a gift for you, a new Bible. My book, Grace Happens, a daily devotional, some other gifts. When we finish singing this song, don't leave yet. We step out in the foyer. You can go to the Connection Center and say, I'd like a new believer bag. Or you can text the word believe to our church number, 720-895-9000. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We are humbled by your grace and mercy, these you've called into your kingdom. And Lord God, right now, we pray for Doug and Blanca, protection for provision, for the purpose of you, God, being always primary. We love you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. They'll be out there, so make sure you stop and hug them after we sing. Let's worship.